Book critic John Leonard has a review of Children of the Arbat, a novel by the Soviet author Anatoly Rybakov. It's about love and politics in the time of Stalin. The book has a complex political history of its own.
The 77-year-old Soviet novelist Anatoly Rybakov spent 3 decades thinking about his own stint in the early 1930s in a Siberian labor camp before writing this autobiographical novel. And then he had to wait another 20 years to see it published. The literary magazine Novy Mir promised to publish it in 1967, and so did the literary magazine October in 1979. Finally, it was serialized a year ago in a third journal with a smaller circulation. It arrives in the West at last, courtesy of Glasnost, with a blurb from that tireless publicist of the permissible, Yevgeny Yevtushenko, and it rather creaks. The Arbat is the intellectual and artistic bohemian quarter of Moscow. Its children are students in 1933 and 1934, on the eve of Stalin's purges. These young students, the Komsomol Boy Scout Sasha, the ferociously romantic Varya, Lena the Weepy, Military Max, Vika in her silk underwear, Yuri of the secret police, are about to disappear into terror and silence. So will the old Bolsheviks in the Politburo, technocrats on the pig iron front, an entire generation of brilliant writers, and Mother Russia herself. By switching back and forth from the minds of the students to the mind of Stalin, Rybakov wants us to understand how it all happened. It was all Stalin's fault, he says. 5'3", with bad teeth and a Jewish dentist, loving Charlie Chaplin and hating everybody else, Rybakov's paranoid Stalin is a sort of cabbage patch monster of morbid suspiciousness, seething social resentments, and a not very interesting Georgian inferiority complex. This one-man devil theory of historical cataclysm just won't wash. It may be that any remotely adequate explanation of Joseph Stalin would need a Dostoevsky for the abnormal psychology, a Kafka for the atmospherics, and a Trotsky for the vivid historical detail. For not being any of these writers, Rybakov can't be blamed. But of much more consequence is the fact that Stalin had a lot of help getting rid of almost 25 million people in the purges and the Great Terror, in the camps and in the famines. There were literally tens of thousands in the service of his paranoia, an enormous population of mechanics in his ministries of death, and Rybakov cannot even bring himself to mention them. We spend some time with the luckless Sasha in Siberia, where he talks to bears and kulaks and thinks about Varya, and with Varya in Moscow, where she learns about architecture and breadlines and the meaning of love, and in the inner councils of the Kremlin, as the plot is hatched to murder Kirov and start the bloodbath. But it all reads more like such dreary classics of socialist realism as Ostrovsky's How the Steel Was Tempered and Gladhoff's Cement than anything by Bulgakov or Babel or Mandelstam, all of whom perished. One longs throughout a very long novel for the voice of Pasternak or Akhmatova or Eugenia Ginsburg, the savagery of Solzhenitsyn, even a Voinovich guffaw. What we get instead is earnest, well-meaning, naive, all too forgiving, tin-eared and pedestrian.
John Leonard writes about television for New York Magazine and is a columnist for New York Newsday. He reviewed Children of the Arbat by Anatoly Rybakov.